What's up, brothers? Welcome to Slam Town.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, fellow brother.
God, the podcast audience doesn't know this, but we as a trio know this. We saw each other live recently.
We did. Ooh. I saw your flesh and I saw your hair, and I didn't see any bones. So
and I saw your flesh.
Yes.
It when you weren't looking. Anyway.
Hey, what?
Huh?
Huh?
I was close enough to smell you guys.
Yeah. We shared a hotel room. Because we went to Mania weekend.
We were in Philly.
We were in Philly.
Oh, man. As always, I'm your host, the sensational Sam Housen. And you know the boys by now, but let me introduce them anyway. I've got intimidating Tim here with me.
What's
and
up?
Just Josh and you, Mr. Josh.
What's up?
Oh,
we are the boys.
No talk, but we did speak over the weekend. But I haven't seen your faces in 2 days, and that feels weird.
It's been so long. I woke up and I was like, "Ooh, I'm not in a hotel room with two other men."
Bed with Sam.
So weird. It was like bizarre. I got in my car and I drove away, and like I was home, and it was really weird.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It's like whenever you go.
I flew home. Let me tell you.
You did not.
I definitely didn't not obey any traffic laws.
Oh yes, we don't want to admit to any crimes on air.
Tim very kindly drove me back to his apartment in New Jersey to get my bag of Gachapon prizes that I left in his apartment. And then gotcha. We got on a bus to get to Grand Central Station. I ate a slice of pizza in front of Tim. Tim left to go back to New Jersey. And then I got on a train for New Haven, Connecticut. And it was a very long day. I was on the train as the eclipse was happening.
Whoa.
And there was just a homeless guy just freaking out. It's like,
yeah, you had a long trek out of all of us.
For sure.
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah.
Let me say that my stepdad had the idea that if it was totality in Maryland, he was gonna get some blow up human looking dolls, fill them with helium, and let them go. As the eclipse happens.
That is funny. Yeah, aside from the eclipse, we did do other stuff this weekend. We saw a lot of shows.
We watched a lot of fucking wrestling.
We did.
Some might say too much wrestling. Not us.
No.
You guys didn't feel burnt out at all, right?
Not at all.
I did watch Raw scowling, but that's about it.
Yeah. Monday Night Raw was a major letdown.
Monday Night
Good
Raw.
We didn't stay for it.
Ass. let's start with our Thursday. I went up in the apartment of one co-host, Tim, and
Hey-o.
We started our weekend watching Josh Barnett's Bloodsport.
Yeah. And that was fun because like Sam was explaining it to me that it's very much like just like shoot fighting. Like it's not like your typical professional wrestling. And I was like, all right, like I guess we'll see how this is. But yeah, it was, you know, just no rings or no ring ropes. They're just like, you know, fighting each other on a mat, and you'd either submit or have referee decision to end the match. And it was just like a lot of like really like, you know, quick matches, not like quick squash, but like, you know, kind of fast paced matches. There's a lot of big names there too, which was cool.
Yeah. It's Josh Barnett's Bloodsport is a part of the Game Changer Wrestling Collective. This year, WWE superstars appeared and competed in the Bloodsport because Josh Barnett was like, hey, my good friend Triple H, Shayna Baszler for this thing. And Triple H said, yeah, sure, buddy. You can also have Charlie Dempsey from NXT. Like, the fact that Triple H is willing to, like, send his people to go do indie shows, that's freaking insane.
Yeah, that's wild that they were able to get that.
And both of them won their Bloodsport matches, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the crowd was very happy that Shayna won, though.
They oh my definitely God, yeah. were not.
Yeah. She's going up against Masha Slamovich.
And she's like a GCW mainstay. I feel like
yeah, she's a big GCW like, name.
Oh, the big WWE person came in and stomped our girl. A boo.
A boo, boo, boo.
There was another WWE appearance because Zoe Stark accompanied Shayna Baszler to the ring, and then TNA Knockouts champion Jordynne Grace accompanied Masha Slamovich to the ring.
Yeah, so lots of surprises. It was cool to watch.
I saw this. I can't remember where I saw it, so I cannot cite my source. But one of these wrestling pages that showed up in like my suggested on Facebook was this guy saying how he watched 122 wrestling matches between Thursday and Sunday.
Whoa.
And it was like his top 20 list of matches across all promotions for that weekend. And number one was the two guys from the Astronauts when they went one-on-one in Bloodsport.
Oh. That was his favorite match out of all 200 plus?
That was his favorite match of anything he watched all weekend.
Wow.
It's like, don't get me wrong, Bloodsport is cool, but like,
there were some. There was a lot of matches. Yeah.
Top five, maybe top 10.
Kind of crazy.
Nothing against the Bloodsport, but.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I feel like we watched something else on Thursday, Sam. We watched that. It was just one Nick Nemeth match, I think.
Yes, we watched Nick Nemeth versus Alex Shelley on just Thursday's episode of TNA.
That's right. I think that was it for Thursday for wrestling that we watched.
We watched DDT Pro.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. I know you experienced a lot of things for the first time watching that show, including Dan the Dad.
Dan the Dad was great.
Chiton, the professional wrestling mascot.
Chiton was even greater than Dad.
And then, I think it's Yoshinko, the wrestling blow-up doll.
Yoshinko was the greatest of them all. It just kept getting better.
Yeah, and then that show also had Billy Starks versus, I want to say his name is Mal, for one of the titles.
And always a fan of Billy.
Ended in a double pinfall, so the match was contested. The winner was decided by a game of rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. That's fun.
Oh, man. That's indie wrestling, though. It's, like, so goofy and fun.
It really is.
But, I don't know. Did you watch anything else on Thursday, Josh, or does that about cover it?
That just about covers it.
Hell yeah. So we're going to move right on into Friday.
Friday.
The day all three of us headed for Pennsylvania.
Yes. Woo! We all met up just a couple minutes outside the city. Not crazy far or anything, but still close enough to drive in.
Indeed.
I think a big highlight of my Friday was that Raising Cane's meal I had.
Oh, yeah, that was a good lunch.
Raising Cane's was so good.
I've never really had it, but I got that Caniac combo or whatever.
Ooh. Yeah, dude, you're a Caniac now.
I'm a certified Caniac.
That's what we call ourselves. Boy,
Austin Post. But
yeah, we met up, got lunch, went to a crazy ass mall.
Oh my god,
the craziest mall I've ever been to in my entire life.
Never seen a more empty mall. Yeah, crazy and like, why is this? Like, how is this still here? Mall.
Like a level from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yeah.
That's felt like we were in the back rooms.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh god, it was. I felt like if I tried to pay with the $50 bill I had in my wallet, the people in the mall would have been like, "What the fuck is that?"
Sorry, we don't accept that here. Yeah.
No bills over 20.
Checked into our hotel and then did a quick turnaround and headed for Philly. Took the subway in. And got down pretty much like just a few minutes before the kickoff event happened that they're having outside the link,
We weren't standing around for too long.
Yeah. No. It was a little bit chilly. Nothing like
but the sun was painful out, which made it nice.
Yeah. Yeah. The what do you guys think of the kickoff event?
Oh, it was fun. It was cool to see everybody.
And I thought it was cool too. Like, it was just open to anyone, really. Like, anyone could just walk up and do it. So,
fans in there. They were. I mean, we were there a decent amount before it started. I mean, at least
30 minutes.
Yeah, I'd say 30 minutes, and it was already full. Yeah. I mean, can I be the one who says it?
Yes, go. I know what you're saying. Go ahead.
We had the most annoying guy
standing
behind us. This guy was head to toe in WrestleMania Philly gear, and anything that was said in the kickoff show, he was bashing the hell out of it. And
he had a comment for everything.
Why are you here? And then, like, there was a guy next to us who just, like, kept playing into it. And it was like, dude, just, like, don't even pay attention to him. Just
talk to us.
It was rough.
Oh, it's my God.
Oh, my goodness. Like, read the room. You're the only one, like, heckling.
Yeah.
Like, leave. Get it.
Get out.
Go out. Leave. Get out of here.
So. But aside from that, I thought it was a lot of fun because they brought out, like, a bunch of names, a bunch of the wrestlers just came out and chatted it up with the crowd. And
I will say, hell yeah, this is sick. My one gripe for the weekend was all of the talent that kept complaining that it was cold. And yeah, it wasn't as nice as Cali was last year, but it wasn't like it was like freezing and snowing. It was like 52 and windy.
Right.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, it's so cold. It's like, it's not that cold.
Even I don't think there's a single point where you could see anyone's breath, and you're not allowed to complain if you can't see people's breath.
Exactly.
Brother, I grew up in Connecticut. I know this shit.
Oh my goodness.
I did notice I saw a funny tweet, and it was someone was like, "Oh, the first big botch of WrestleMania happened at that kickoff thing." Like, what the fuck are they talking about? Remember when Drew McIntyre came out and he said, "Oh, I brought some muffins for Punk to kind of ease the tensions."
Yeah.
And he handed them to Pat McAfee. If you watch the stream, it's cupcakes. There's frosting and sprinkles. The first big botch of Mania Drew referring to those as muffins.
No, bro. No wonder he – spoilers. No wonder he lost with a botch like that.
Drew McIntyre lost?
Yeah, he lost to a certain Cashin.
What the fuck are you talking about, guy?
We'll get to that in due time.
But yeah, after that kickoff, we
mosey on down
to get into SmackDown for the night, and then we got to the longer line, which was the right one, but was moving faster than the one we had already been waiting in.
Yeah,
which was nice. But
and once we got in, it was obviously it's indoors, so it's like climate controlled, but it was a good temperature.
Oh, it was nice inside the city. It was a nice stadium too. It was the Wells Fargo Center.
Yep. Yeah. I've never been there before, but the Flyers play there, the 76ers play there, and it was a good stadium arena.
My one big gripe is that I spent about I think 60 on t-shirts, which is I understand is like a fine price to pay for like a souvenir t-shirt is usually how much they go for,
right?
But to spend almost double that in food,
it was a bit egregious.
It was just like a hot dog and a drink was like $30.
It's fun to compare that to the prices of food at the GCW show that we went to the next day, where you could get a beer for like what, $5?
I spent $4 on two Diet Cokes and a Coke for the three of us.
Yeah. So it was quite stark.
Yeah.
Oh man. But
we saw SmackDown there, followed up by the Hall of Fame presentation. Seats way up, all the way up. But I mean, we got a good view of everything, and I don't think there are many issues, so it was chill.
Nope.
I think if Josh stood up, he was touching the ceiling of the stadium.
Yes.
very, very frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I haven't had my kids yet, but if that handrail was any closer, I would not be having them. Oh my god!
You were right in the middle of it. Like
directly in line with the friggin' handrail. Which, what was nice about it was I didn't have to move if people needed to get by me or anything.
That is true. That was a big plus, I'd say.
But friggin' yeah, that handrail was touching my nuts the whole time.
It was there. So yeah, SmackDown. Well, before SmackDown, we had two matches that I guess were dark matches. One of them was everyone's favorite, Tiffany Stratton.
Yes.
I forget who she went up against, though.
Meechin.
Okay, that's right. And then they also had a WWE speed match that they recorded. So that was cool to see it, like, live. See kind of how they set it up and all that.
Yeah,
and
that I don't think we should spoil the results of the speed match because it hasn't aired yet.
That's a good...
Let me double check before we talk about it.
We don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, it came out 9 hours ago. Let's talk about it.
Cool. So it was JD McDonagh. He versus was going up Axiom. Against Axiom. And it was exciting. It was fun to see.
It was obviously a very fast-paced match. Mm-hmm. But it also, at the same time, didn't feel like it was 3 minutes. It was like a lot of action. I will say, at one point, JD McDonagh gets like kicked in the face or something by Axiom, and I don't know how the man didn't lose a tooth.
Yeah, you even said like it looks like he lost a tooth.
Solid. Like he it looked like he spit something out. Granted, right. If it was tooth or he was just spitting, I don't know, but it was weird.
It looked brutal.
I think the coolest thing that happened, from a production standpoint, was the fact that they changed the mats,
like yeah,
twice. Start like after the two dark matches, they took off the apron, mm-hmm. and then untied the mat and took it off. There was another one underneath, and then halfway through SmackDown, they took that mat off, and there was a third one.
Mm-hmm. And they they rolled out a carpet for the KO show.
Yes, I've never known how they done the carpet.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was like a mat that they had put on, but it was actually just a large roll of carpet that they slid through the under the ropes, rolled it out, and then lined it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say one thing that I really enjoyed about SmackDown was just seeing like the production side of things, because the only other live WWE shows that I've been to is I went to the Deadline pay-per-view with Sam. They didn't really have too much like in terms of like crazy production stuff from that. And then Josh, you and I went to a house show, yes. Which obviously they're not filming that for TV, so they're not going to do anything like that at all either. So it was cool to kind of see, you know, the production changes, like how they, you know, kind of fit in with like TV, like commercial time and stuff like that. Is pretty cool. Pretty cool, I'd say.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'll be the guy to say it. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal sucked.
Yeah, it didn't feel as big as it normally has been in the past, and I don't know if that was just because it was on SmackDown.
It used to be like on the WrestleMania card or like the kickoff show.
Right. And
truthfully, it could have been on the Mania card because like Sunday didn't have that many matches.
Right.
Sunday only had 6 matches compared to Saturday's 7.
And Sunday ended a good 20 minutes earlier than Saturday had.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
There were a lot of botches in this match. Like, I don't remember if it was Humberto Carrillo or Angel Garza, but one of them just straight up eliminated themselves.
Yes, yeah, I saw that.
From the match.
It's hilarious. He just, like, all of a sudden he's running and jumping over the top rope.
Yeah. And then the big one.
I never watched it on TV. I wonder if maybe he just kind of ran away scared, but that doesn't seem like his character.
No.
Yeah.
What a weird choice.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Omos.
The other big moment was Omos getting eliminated, which we learned happened during a TV break.
Yes.
Or picture in picture, is that right?
Yeah, it was in a picture-in-picture. Omos eliminated himself from the Battle Royal because it looked like he overshot the distance when he, like, eliminated the Creed brothers and kept going.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, oh, okay, because all the clips and stuff on Instagram afterwards just cut to the part where he was beating them down outside the ring.
Right.
But never, like, showed or made mention of the fact that he eliminated himself.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, we kind of noticed when he did get eliminated, like, the rest of the guys in the ring kind of froze for, like, you know, a good beat or two. I don't know if they were just, like, shocked or if they were like, all right, like, we need to figure out, like, what to do, like, if it was a botch. But, like I'm saying, it was just cool to see that sort of production side of things.
Yeah, and then I think the only other thing I'd like to bring up from SmackDown was how boring Jey Uso versus Solo Sikoa was.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. But it was also like we basically knew that Jimmy was going to interfere.
Right. Yeah. And set up stuff for the next day.
For Saturday night at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But, God, part of me is glad they're kind of less bloodline on TV now. So
yeah,
true.
If I may squeeze in my tweet of the week now.
Ooh, yes.
I saw one that was about. So we obviously know the draft is coming up, and we were teased that main roster talent will most likely be going have the opportunity to be drafted to NXT. And I saw someone tweet that they think that Jimmy should be drafted to NXT. And if the rumors of Jacob Fatu being signed to WWE are true, then have Jacob and Jimmy team up in NXT. Ooh. Because it worked wonders for Baron Corbin.
That's a really good point, yeah.
I was going to say, Baron Corbin's, like, NXT revival that he's been on has done friggin' wonders for him. I was never a Baron Corbin guy, but this has made me more of a fan.
I saw another tweet that was that Corbin should come to the main roster with Breaker, and they should challenge 8-10 and under for at Backlash for the tag titles.
That would be awesome.
So, anyways, back to SmackDown. Well, actually, yeah. are we on to the Hall of Fame now?
Hall of Fame. Yeah,
Hall of Fame.
Very cool to see how everything was set up. Just the way that they took off the ropes. It was cool because Charles Robinson was the one who took apart the ring. Like, he loosened every single turnbuckle, basically, and took the ropes off.
Yeah, it's always cool to see, like, the big, like, hit the big-time referee still kind of helping out the guys in the crew and everything. Like, I went to see wrestling at a bar one time here in Connecticut, and the whole night they were like, oh, we have a surprise wrestler coming to the show tonight. And it ended up being, it was Eddie Kingston. And Eddie Kingston came through the crowd. He put the beat down on Zicky Dice. And then at the end of the show, Eddie Kingston took the ring down. And it's like, this guy's on AEW pay-per-view in 2 days, and he's here just at some bar in Bristol, Connecticut, taking the ring apart. It was like Eddie Kingston, Dan the Dad, and Warhorse were taking the ring apart together.
That's a sign of a guy who recognizes, you know,
where
he came from. Yeah, love that.
But yeah, the switch over to the Hall of Fame podium was cool.
Yes.
And then, at this point, it was a little after 10, maybe like 10:20-ish. And we were saying, like, at least I was feeling kind of tired. And I was like, I really want to at least see Paul's Hall of Fame induction, but I feel like he's going to go last. And then it turns out that they put Mr. Paul Heyman on first, baby.
He should have gone last.
He went so long.
He was the headliner, I felt like.
He was the headliner, but the everybody left when he finished. Including us.
Yeah.
Which I feel bad for because like Bull Nakano deserved a better crowd.
Right.
And
yeah.
Return and US Express deserved a better crowd.
From what I heard, Thunderbolt Patterson talked longer than Paul Heyman did.
Whoa. And also, what time did it officially end?
I didn't look into that at all, but I assume probably around midnight, if not later.
Gotcha.
But Paul Heyman opening it, like Josh said, probably not the move because that was a very hard act to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I don't know if they censored it on Peacock or what, but some of the language Mr. Heyman was using.
Oh, it was censored on Peacock.
Okay, good. Oh, man.
I don't know. I would have rather heard it uncensored.
Yeah.
Like we did.
It was cool seeing it live. And also, like, hearing the crowd pop, like, that was awesome.
Oh, yes. My God. Like, memories of wrestling was the WWE reboot of ECW. It used to air on the Sci-Fi channel Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. I was like, wow, ECW, this is kind of cool. It's like wrestling, but like edgier. And then some friends I had at that time were like, oh, my older brother or like my dad said that's like a reboot. There's an original ECW. And I was like, go on, tell me more.
I'm all ears.
So some of my earliest wrestling memories are like finding old ECW matches on like YouTube and shit. Mm-hmm. And I always thought it was so cool.
That's awesome.
So getting to be in Philadelphia, seeing Paul Heyman inducted into the Hall of Fame and talk about his speech, like give his speech in front of people who probably grew up with his product.
Right.
It was like,
there's so much love for him in there.
Oh my God. And like, the part where he was like, if you think the spirit of ECW is dead, you think I'm dead. So suck my fucking dick. I was like, my God, can he say that?
It was awesome.
He did. Didn't matter if he could. He did.
Yeah. And then, like, Stephanie McMahon was there, and she was wearing her, like, hat from when she was in the ECW invasion angle. Mm-hmm. And it was like, holy shit, Paul Heyman is, like, done a lot more for wrestling than I think I ever realized he did, aside from like starting ECW and being the manager for some of the greatest talents of all time. And
right, yeah, yeah, like, he's gone through his history and like it's impressive.
Oh yeah, he brought out that big chunky cell phone
and yeah,
he talked about how he broke it over Sting's head to help Rick Rude win the US title. I was like, oh my God, I forgot, like He was with Rick Rude. He was in WCW. Like, Heyman's been everywhere.
The dude's putting the work.
Putting in the work. And even, like, Roman being the one to induct Paul, I feel like a lot of people were like, oh, Roman? But I think Roman did a good job.
Yeah.
Roman did a very good job.
The crowd was freaking chatting up a storm while he was talking. It was kind of annoying. I don't know if you guys got that vibe too, but
I think it's because it's Philly and it's Roman, but it's no excuse. Like, it's the Hall of Fame. Like, be respectful.
Yeah. Exactly.
I understand it's like a ticketed event for the public, but come on, like it's for these people that put their like lives, their whole life on camera in front of you.
Right.
For you, like, be grateful.
Right. Kind of wild.
Insane
indeed. But yeah, so we left kind of, you know, right after Paul's speech wrapped. I kept meaning to rewatch, you know, the rest of it, just to see some of the stuff that got brought up and how they, you know, paid homage and all that. But I just didn't get a chance to. But yeah, anything else from Friday that you guys want to talk about?
I will say, I heard the New Day reunited to induct Thunderbolt Patterson. I didn't know who he was before they announced that he was going into the Hall of Fame. But from what I gathered, it's like he was like what Jackie Robinson was to baseball, he was to pro wrestling.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So like the New Day basically was like, if he never existed, we would have never existed.
Right.
And then like they listed off other like Black and African American wrestlers, like without this guy, none of them would be around.
Right.
I was like, wow, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And then I thought the whole thing with The Rock, like roasting Cody while he was inducting his grandmother, and then Muhammad Ali's widow like presented The Rock with a title belt.
Mm-hmm.
Like two of these inductions all of a sudden became about The Rock, and one of them was fucking Muhammad Ali, and you were just like, no, it's a Rock thing now.
Yeah, that was a little goofy, because I always thought that Hall of Fame would kind of be more, you know, like not serious, because like obviously like Paul Heyman still had fun with it, but you know, it'd be weird for them to, you know, kind of work in like storyline beats.
Odd choice. But
I guess, you know, they have been blurring the lines a lot with Rock and everything he's been doing. So,
only other thing I had for Friday was, Tony Deppen from Ring of Honor and GCW was sitting near us on the subway, and I didn't say anything to him, but I think he realized I was recognizing who he was in real time. But
you were respectful.
Yeah, I was like, this guy's just trying to get home. Like, he's got a suitcase. I'm not going to bug him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was our Friday, which puts us into Saturday.
Yeah. Which I think
was probably the best day of the trip.
I'd say so. Saturday was so much fun.
So
we took
down the itinerary for the
first go for it.
We woke up. We had hotel breakfast. It was weird eggs. And
you two had hotel breakfast.
Oh, yes. Tim and I had hotel breakfast.
Sam and I dined like kings.
On this trip, Josh is not a breakfast boy. So Tim and I had hotel breakfast. It was eggs with weird tasting cheese. Not weird like it went bad. Weird like it was plastic.
Yeah.
And then big sausage patties. Put that on toast and made a little egg Sammy. After breakfast wrapped, got in the car, and we drove to the Penn's Landing Catering Center.
Mm-hmm.
And what was at that, you might ask? Why did these guys go to a catering place, like a wedding hall? Because that's what it's advertised as on its website.
Why did we go there?
Let me tell you. Game Changer Wrestling, The Collective, that's where it was live from. So we watched Tuesday and Friday stuff on Fight TV and our phones and whatever. But Saturday, we were there for two of the three shows live.
Hell yeah.
So at 11 a.m., we attended Effie's Big Gay Brunch 9, and at 2:30 we attended GCW versus Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling.
Little doubleheader action for us.
Yeah. I thought I was gonna be like tired after this, but I was just having so much like energy and like just fun that I had there, like it just kept me going. It was such a blast.
It was awesome.
It was a lot of fun. Just I think my favorite part is it wasn't like a huge like room that we were in. It was, you know, like cozy, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And like, I thought that like our tickets were for like standing room, just general admission. And I thought it was going to be like packed in there like sardines. But there was like, you know, like enough space around us. Like I felt fine, like where we were. And we were so close to like the ring and the wrestlers. Like it was awesome.
We had a very good view. You could see us on camera if you were watching on Fight TV.
Yeah.
It was a
little rough on the legs standing for, you know, a few hours straight, but
don't get me started.
you know, it was definitely fun.
Do you guys have a favorite match of the Big Gay Brunch?
Oh, I was just about to ask. I think
what's the website for the cards again?
I use, let's see.
I want to remind myself before I give you my answer.
Internet Wrestling Database for mine.
Do-do-do-do-do. But yeah, Big Gay Brunch Live was one of the coolest things I have ever attended.
Yeah. That
might be the coolest thing I've ever attended.
Oh, and we did all get matching Big Gay Brunch t-shirts.
I have mine on.
Hell yeah. You'll love to see it.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, they're really cool. They're black, pink, and white tie-dye. And there's a Big Gay Brunch 9 Philly across the front.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite match was either the opening, so it was a four-way match, or the tag team between Bussy against Dirty Dango and Breeze.
Ooh.
I think I'm gonna be the same as Tim, and I enjoyed Bussy versus Dirty Breeze.
Nice.
I'll be the third. That was match of the show.
So much fun. It was just so much fun.
Yeah.
And like, it's not like the other matches were bad. It's just like this. It was so funny. It did some good wrestling. A total good story, which is like that was just a big thing.
Yeah. So every year at the Big Gay Brunch, Bussy, which is Effie and Alley Ketch, usually team up in like some kind of big tag team extravaganza. So this year they took on the team of the Dirty Breeze, which was a royalty-free, legally distinct version of WWE's Breezango, which was Tyler Breeze and Fandango, and now they're Dirty Breeze because it's Tyler Breeze and the dirtiest Dirty Dango, as he is known on the independents and in TNA, where he's currently signed. But this was start to finish one of the most like genuinely fun things I have ever had the pleasure to witness live.
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze and Dango entered dressed as cops because they are the fashion police, and the crowd starts chanting like ACAB and all this stuff.
And it was so funny.
Hilarious.
Once that started, I was like, oh my God, this is something special we're about to watch. I think other chants in this match included suck his dick, pigs can't fly, wrestling is gay. I think those were the big ones.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments was when Alley Ketch and Effie hit the two-man power trip, which is a Stone Cold Stunner and a pedigree. And they landed it, and then they looked at each other and they said, oh my God, we have to make them gay.
That is my favorite part of the match as well.
Yeah.
It was just,
hey, we have to make them gay.
Like, my favorite part of it was just like how fun like the crowd was with like everything. Like,
yeah.
Coming up with hilarious chants. They were cheering for everything. They were booing for everything. They were just so hyped for everything that was going on.
It was like, I always get a little apprehensive when there's like, it's nothing negative. It's just like gay and LGBTQ people have always been like viewed as like lesser or in a comedy way or something in professional wrestling. So it was really cool to have like a whole show card that really just in the name was like everyone here is gay, but then it was just some good ass wrestling that we got to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. It was like, it was so cool to see like a group of people within this sport that have always kind of been put into a certain box, just get to showcase that. That's just, yeah, they're just people. They're just wrestlers. Like, it was so much fun.
It's awesome. I think my second highlight of the morning or the card was Rina Hitsune versus now I gotta look at his name, Billy Dixon, and the crowd was cheering for Rina Yamashita. I don't know what I said. It was just Billy Dixon, and everyone was cheering for Rina, and Billy Dixon goes, "Hold on. I'm the gay one here."
Yes.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
It's so good.
Billy Dixon wrestled that whole match wearing a wool backpack, and I was like, There's got to be something in there.
There wasn't. Or if there was, we never learned about it.
Man, I think Rina has already held that title for like what feels like a year and a half, and it's like they got to get someone big to take it off her now. She's beating everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm trying to think other highlights from the show that I really liked. Oh. One of the matches was like a 10-man tag or 10-person tag. Team Pollo Del Mar versus Team Perro. And Perro got announced as being the first gay.
Yes.
Oh my god, that was so much fun. I am the first gay from which all other gays derive. There's some shenanigans in that match. A member of Pollo's team turned on everybody to help Perro win, which led to a moment at a later show that same night.
Yes.
But I think that about wraps up how much fun we had at the Big Gay Brunch. Not an actual brunch, because my family kept asking me that.
Yeah, there was not any food served.
Because it's at 11 in the morning.
Mm. The next match, or I guess card, was the crossover promotion between DCW and Tokyo Joshi Pro.
This was fun, but the crowd was definitely not as into this as Big Gay Brunch. Which
I think it's mostly because that TJPW stuff was like really kind of niche.
Yeah.
Like I had a good time. I was glad to be there live and like watching it with you guys, but I was I only know the GCW people.
I wonder if also like culturally, you know, it could be different. Like there are cultural differences between like America and Japan, so maybe that also could have played a part in it. One thing that I noticed that I texted some of my friends, one of them like loves like K-pop. She goes to a lot of like K-pop shows, and a big aspect of that is everyone has like these light sticks that they bring to the concerts, and they kind of like just wave them around like in time with the music. And I noticed that at this show there were a few people like in the crowd that had light sticks, and I was like, that's so funny, like to see this, you know, like in wrestling. But I think it's because there's a big crossover between like idol culture and like singing careers and like Joshi style wrestling. Like I was kind of reading about it online, so that was cool. Interesting to learn about. Yeah,
I think I turned to you guys at one point in the middle of the show and I was like, why is everyone on this card so fucking cute? Oh my god, like I was blushing. But anyway, it was a fun show. I think for me the best match was the 6-woman tag that like main evented.
Mm-hmm.
I know Maki Ito was in it, Masha Slamovich and Rina Yamashita. Could not tell you who the other 3 women were from TJPW. One of them came out dressed like a little kaiju monster.
And that's during
the match, she got like this duffel bag out from under the ring and was like pouring it like you pour out the thumbtacks and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it was all like Godzilla and Rodan, Destroya, like all kaiju figures. And she slammed someone into them. And I was like, that's gotta fucking hurt. Those things hurt. Just like sticking your thumb on it, opening it out of the package. To get body slammed on that, oh my god.
That's some unique weapon work right there.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And since we were in Philly, they couldn't really do like deathmatch stuff because of the Pennsylvania Athletic Committee. There was that one match, Steph DeLander versus Hyper Misao, where they were putting the wooden stakes into each other's heads.
That's right. Yeah.
That was crazy.
That was
Most of it ended up in their hair.
Yeah. It was crazy.
I think my favorite match was when Billy Starks and Jinai Kai teamed up. To go against a team from Tokyo Joshi. Just because like Billy Starks and Jinai Kai are just like a lot of fun to watch wrestle. So it's cool to see them live.
One thing that bugs me is Jinai Kai's haircut, but other than that, very talented.
It's very scary. I don't know what it is.
Intimidating and strange. Speaking of Billy Starks, I do want to say that she has become the first ever Ring of Honor Women's Television Champion. She won the tournament at Supercard of Honor Friday night, defeating Queen Aminata to become the inaugural champion.
Nice.
She's now the youngest and only television champion for the women's division.
Hell yeah.
Easy to have, like, record setting being the youngest when you're so far the only person to hold the belt.
Right.
She is 19. But, yeah, that tag match was fun. A lot of this show was, like, tag matches and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The opener match was fun. There was, like, Pom Harajuku, I think her name was. She didn't win, but throughout the rest of the show, she was, like, at ringside just cheering on her friends and, like, helping the ring crew clean up stuff. And
yeah, that was another thing that we all noticed.
Yeah, like, any woman that had wrestled a match from Tokyo Joshi would, like, end up at ringside, like, crouched down with the ring crew cheering on. Maybe it was, like, a language barrier thing or something. I don't know.
It kind of reminded me of, like, in high school, I did fencing, and, like, whenever we would go to tournaments, like, it's a individual sport. So, like let's say, like, I got knocked out of the tournament, like, then I would just go around to, like, all of my friends, like, having their matches and cheer them on. It kind of reminded me of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fun. Just supporting your buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. Really fun events overall. I loved the crowd. I loved the, you know, like, intimate, close area that it was held in. Would definitely do it again.
Yeah, I would go to the Collective again in a heartbeat. Hey, have they announced where WrestleMania is next year yet?
I still don't think they have.
Oh, dang. I heard it could be Minnesota. So I'll go to Minnesota.
Minnesota. I've heard Las Vegas.
Ooh. I've never been to either place.
Same here.
Tim, you have an inn in Minnesota. Just saying.
I have many inns.
Ha ha ha. But that wraps up for our live experience at the GCW Collective. Very quickly, we're going to go through the Saturday and Sundays of the WrestleMania cards.
Yeah. Oh.
I will say, right off the rip, I thought Saturday night for WrestleMania was one of the most boring things I have ever watched.
Really?
I didn't think night one was all that good. I thought the best match...
I would agree.
The best two matches, I'll say, were the six-pack challenge for the tag team titles and then Sammy versus Gunther.
Mm-hmm.
I thought those were the most exciting two things I had watched the whole night.
For sure. I think that part of it is because the crowd was not in it. But I don't know, it just wasn't anything to write home about. I will say that the main event, I was on the edge of my seat because I thought something big would happen, but it never really came.
Nope.
I don't think the match was bad. I don't think any of the matches were bad per se. I just think that they were a little lackluster. I mean,
yeah.
How do Bianca, Jade, and Naomi against Damage Control, how does that only get, based on the wrestling database, that match was only 8 minutes.
Yeah, that was, like, that was way quick.
How do they only get 8 minutes? I think knowing what we know now about Rhea and Becky before their match, that match was good.
Right.
Obviously, the six pack was really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I thought that Theory and Waller grabbing the SmackDown titles in the way that they did was a little weird because it felt like somebody could have interrupted them, but Waller just kind of ran to the top and grabbed them, and then that was it.
Right. Which, like, that's a smart way of doing it. Like, you don't want to spend more time in the ladder than you should.
Yeah, stop. Yeah, seriously, stop climbing the ladder so slow. But at the same time, like, I could see, like, three other people just kind of sitting there and watching them. It's like,
yeah.
Hey.
That match also got all of our hearts racing because the ladder that they were using at the end was ready to buckle at any moment. And
oh my God, yeah. One of the legs at the bottom was snapped.
Yeah.
That was scary, but like they recovered, just got a new ladder. But like if Priest or someone goes up there,
right,
he's kind of screwed.
And the one ref was trying to like tell him, hey, don't use that ladder. And he was just like, stop talking to me. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right. It was wild.
I'm a big, tall heel wrestler. You don't tell me what to do.
I feel like for me, the only match from night one that kind of stunk was Jimmy versus Jay.
100%. 100%.
A lot of super kicks.
Well,
didn't really go anywhere.
It really didn't tell a story. I figured we were going to get like someone feeling some kind of remorse.
Right.
Or saying like, hey, let's be brothers again. But
like we're in the same place now that we were before. I feel. Yeah.
Jay's doing better. Jimmy's still not a solo wrestler.
Right.
But maybe he'll go to SmackDown. So
I think you had read a tweet or something, Josh, that was like, it's when you and your brother are playing a fighting game and pick the same character.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Not only did they pick the same character, but they were spamming the same button.
They're literally twin brothers. Like, what are you going to do to like make that interesting? You're looking at the same, same dude twice.
They were spamming up B in Smash.
That's very accurate.
So
I think that about like that's anything I thought to talk about for night one.
Yeah.
Well, I think Gunther and Sammy was very good. I don't think Gunther's title reign should have ended.
I think I trust the writers the way that they've been cooking the last couple of months, but in my mind, I don't see where Gunther fits in the main the world title race right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a spot where he can be in it, and I certainly don't see a spot where he's winning it.
True.
I thought he should take the IC title all the way to Berlin, win in Berlin, and then drop it at like Survivor Series or something.
I think, Gunther being IC champ in Germany would have been really cool, but I think they're going to put him onto something big now that he's not champion. Maybe
like
he'll fight, but not necessarily win, like against Priest or whoever's world champ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my question is, for the next couple of weeks before the draft, are we treating Cody as a free agent that can go between brands, or are we saying he's a Raw exclusive? He's going to be on SmackDown Friday, but then he's not scheduled on SmackDown until after the draft.
Right. Because technically, isn't the title that he holds like...
The titles aren't exclusive.
Right.
We just kind of treat them that way because they never get drafted together.
Gotcha.
Like it would make no sense to have the world titles on the same show.
Right, because that makes it kind of unfair for the other.
Half the roster has nothing to fight for there.
Right.
So they're always split, but it looks like he's going to be treated as a Raw star for right now, and then we'll see where it goes. I have a feeling he will stay on Raw. And I think if the title stays on Priest, up until the draft, then that title will go to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
And then obviously we have the main event. Nothing that I think any of us didn't expect. It was pretty clear that they were going to have Roman and Rock win this.
Yes. Yeah. And I certainly was waiting for it. It was slow to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of picked up towards the end. It definitely picked up towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like it almost had to be slow just because The Rock is, the age that he is.
Yeah. I think that the plan for the match was to have the crowd into it and to just kind of to get the reactions going and get people moving. But
yeah,
like they kept saying, it was cold to everybody in the stadium, and they just didn't. They couldn't get into it. Couldn't get themselves into it. But it's right. I don't know. I felt like even it being cold, like football games are played in whatever degree weather. Like the crowd could have been into it,
right?
But they weren't, and you know what? Can't change that now. So it's still they still told a good story. And the end of the night, you know, it made at the end of the night it made night two better.
It did, yes.
I had one thing I very quickly wanted to say about this Rock Roman tag match. Mm-hmm. If you're advertising your night two main event with some kind of special stipulation that hinges on the outcome of a match that takes place before it, you've pretty much spoiled the ending for us.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
The whole time they were like, oh, if Rock and Roman wins, it's going to be Bloodline rules. Okay, so what happens if Cody and Seth win? It's just a traditional one-on-one, which we've seen that Cody hasn't been able to beat Roman in, you know?
Right. It was fun trying to think, like, who's going to take the pin and who's going to give it. But aside from that, like, we knew which team was going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. But overall, I think this was an incredibly shitty WrestleMania for Seth Rollins in particular.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially night two kind of shows that, if we want to jump ahead to night two.
Hey, what a perfect segue.
Hey. So, yes, we had one. It had one more match than the previous. Oh, wait, no. It had one fewer match than the previous night, at least on paper.
Yes. Night one had 7 matches. Night two had 6.
Yes. Technically, there was a 7th. We can kind of jump into this right away, because Damian Priest decided to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Yeah, that would put it at 7 matches.
If you want to count a 7-second, you know, one move thing as a match.
Well, the card on the wrestling database counts it as a match.
There we go.
It had a starting bell and it had an ending bell. I think that counts it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we had a lot of title defenses and a lot of title changes, which is always exciting. I feel like that isn't something that we've seen in the past few pay-per-views. So it's nice to see some new people get in the spotlight.
Yep.
I feel like for me, match of the night, aside from the main event, because I feel like yeah, I feel like everyone could have enjoyed that. I really liked Bayley beating Io.
Yes.
And I really liked the street fight as well. I think those are two really fun ones. Bayley versus Io, I think I just enjoyed just because it was, you know, I like Bayley. It was nice to see her get like a moment, even if it wasn't like main event match, but it was nice to see her win.
Which it should have been technically, because the Royal Rumble winner gets the main event.
Right, kind of unfortunate there.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so hard to follow that. It's like they're the main event. I don't care what else is happening. They're the main event.
Right.
Like I just kind of wish that they would adapt it. I understand that, you know, night one's main event was big, mm-hmm. but like
it could have been. Like, imagine if that kicked off the show. Like, that would have been insane. There was a show, maybe it was 35, WrestleMania 35, where, like, they were going to start it, and then Paul Heyman came out, and he's like, if Brock Lesnar isn't the main event, like he's going on first. And I think he went up against, it was like a title defense.
Yeah, didn't Rollins beat him in, like, 3 minutes or something?
Yeah, it was a match against Seth, and, like, why don't you have that mentality with the Rock and Roman like tag match? Like put it on first. So I don't know. Kind of unfortunate, but regardless, I'm glad Bayley won. I'm glad she finally got like a good moment.
I think Drew McIntyre beating Seth in the World Heavyweight title match, finally getting his big title victory in front of a crowd, and then immediately having it ended with the Money in the Bank cash in. Truly insane way to kick off the show.
Yeah.
Like that, as soon as it happened, and like I might have said it out loud to you guys, but in my head I was like, this is already better than night one. I'm already having a great time.
It was like right out the gate, high energy. Unexpected, like, too, I feel.
CM Punk being on commentary, and we had gone to the Slammies Sunday morning at WWE World. When Punk came out to accept his award, he wasn't wearing the arm brace. He just came out in the suit. And then when he came out to commentate the match, I think it was you, Josh, you were like, hey, he wasn't wearing that when we saw him this morning.
Yeah.
What if he's, like, healed? And at the end, he rips it off and he attacks Seth with it. It's like, oh, shit. Okay. And then, like, Punk blew the kiss to McIntyre's family sitting front row. And then Priest's music hits. And I was like...
And that was fuck. That was perfect timing too.
And we get a new excited. We get a new Judgment Day meme.
Yeah, yeah.
Bisexual Undertaker.
Oh,
well, that's always a good one. But no, the slow turn to somebody coming in. I think people kept making that about. There was a clip of Triple H doing it, but they put the Judgment Day music over it. Now we just can use the Punk one with Judgment Day's music.
That's funny.
Friggin', did you hear McIntyre call him Bondage Undertaker on Raw Monday night? Yeah. That was funny.
Indeed.
But yeah, Damian cashing in. That's two new World Heavyweight Champions in one night. As Tim said, Bayley is now the Women's Champion. She beat Io Sky. We've got two new Tag Team Champions. And we've got a new Intercontinental Champion. Only titles that didn't change hands. Oh, and well, Cody finished the story, but the only two titles that didn't change hands were Rhea Ripley's and Logan Paul's U.S. title. This is like a full reset for this new Paul Levesque era that we're in.
It really is. Yeah, with so many title changes.
Like, it's... I will say Monday Night Raw was a little lackluster. It was not a good Raw after Mania. Only really exciting things that happened were the NXT champion Ilya Dragunov showed up, and then NXT women's champion Roxanne Perez showed up. They've also stated that both of them are eligible for the draft this year.
Pretty big.
That Ilya Shinsuke match, I have a feeling that that was supposed to be like Shinsuke coming out complaining that he wasn't on Mania and then issuing an open challenge to Dragunov coming out, but it's still, Ilya got a really nice pop.
Oh, yeah. That guy's friggin' great. I heard he wasn't going to go main roster till he had dropped the title, but then they had him retain it, Stand and Deliver, and then put him on Monday night, and I'm like, are you going to get another like vacant title tournament or something? But
it feels like the only way, only respectful way to take the belt off of him.
Or,
like have him get drafted and then tell him, hey, the caveat is that you got to drop the belt.
Hear me out. What if they let him hold it until Bash at Berlin and he defends it on the pay-per-view?
That would be insane.
That'd be so cool.
But anyways, back to WrestleMania.
Yeah. Tangent cover.
I enjoyed the United States Championship match because I am a Logan Paul fan.
Nice.
Boom, if you want.
Extremely impressive.
But
very fun to watch.
Super, like, just so talented when it comes to this. And it's crazy.
I think so. I'm a fan of him as a wrestler, as a person, not so much.
Yeah, I'm still in that boat, although he's definitely grown up from the Suicide Forest video, so. In that era of his life, he's certainly matured, but he's still just a little cringe. But that match was fun, and we got another prime. Got another prime bottle surprise.
Yeah, his I had to, as a resident young person, I had to ask you who the guy in the prime bottle was because I didn't know.
It was iShow Speed. He's a Twitch streamer. He's really funny. But yeah. Somebody forgot to tell him that you're not supposed to say fuck over and over again.
Yeah. Randy Orton looked at him and was just like, fuck.
They were big on the bleeps.
Fuck you gonna do? What the fuck you gonna do? And he just kept saying that. I was like, all right, Speed, chill.
Hey, brother. Can't be saying that on TV, brother. I know they didn't get, why am I blanking on his name now that I'm talking about him? Special teams, special players, special plays.
Oh, Sketch?
Yes. Wish they had gotten Sketch.
That certainly would have been funny.
In like a backstage segment with R-Truth?
Yeah.
Oh my god, they brought Hornswoggle back. That's crazy. That's what Truth would have said to Sketch. He would have called him Hornswoggle.
Ba-dunts.
Yeah, I think that triple threat was my match of the night for night two. I really liked it.
I would agree with that. In terms of wrestling, that was my match of the night. In terms of storytelling, it was obviously the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also liked from that triple threat how Orton and KO were kind of like buddy-buddy teaming up. And then when it came to like taking like pinning Logan, they're like, oh, like, you know, like now we have to start fighting.
Yeah. I really wanted that match to start with KO hitting Randy with a super kick.
Just off the rip?
Off the rip. Just prove how crazy he was.
Yeah. Did Logan win with a crazy looking frog splash, right?
Yes.
He did a toe touch.
Yeah, that's what it was. That was awesome.
Very impressive indeed.
I mean, his entrance was cool with like the six-wheeled truck with the prime bottle and
yeah.
Pretty prime
big old
heavy
cannon on the top.
Did you see the thing? I don't know where it was, if it was at World and we walked by it and missed it, or if it was somewhere else, but there was a giant WrestleMania edition bottle of Prime, and you could go up to it and try to untwist the cap, and then if you got the cap undone, there was a signed bottle of WrestleMania Prime from Cody Rhodes.
Whoa.
Where was that?
I don't know.
I saw it on TikTok this morning. It showed Cody and Logan. It looked like right after they posted that picture where Cody signed with Prime, it was Cody and Logan like with the bottle, and Logan was explaining what it was, and then Cody had the drink in his hand, he signs it, they put it in and they tighten the cap, and he's like, one lucky fan, if you can get this bottle open, you get the autographed Prime. And then it shows that it was a little girl got it open and she got the Prime bottle.
Nice.
I was like, it's like a little kid. That's great. Not just some guy who's going to like resell it or something. It was like a kid who was genuinely happy to have this. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Any other big thoughts from the show?
Correct. I think the other match I really think we should talk about was Cody and Roman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, oh my god.
It was very exciting to watch that like live with you guys.
And it was nice too, because I don't want to sound like down or anything, but my dad was in the ER for like the whole weekend we were gone, and he was texting me the whole time. He was like, I'm watching WrestleMania, bud. I got it on the computer. And we got to like call him and talk to him after the triple threat for a little bit. So he was texting me through the whole thing. He was like, oh my god, the Undertaker's here. John Cena, your favorite. Dad knows how much I hate John Cena. But yeah, that was nice to know that my dad was there watching it and thinking of us.
Yeah.
He said he missed watching it with the guys. So
yeah. It was always a fun stable. Man.
But main event. Pretty great.
I agree. Really awesome storytelling from multiple, you know, like angles. Like not only just Cody and Roman, but also like all of the like surprises that they had come out. I feel like each of them kind of fit and made sense like from a story perspective, which was really impressive to see. It wasn't just like, oh, here's a name. like, oh, here's a famous person. It was like, it made sense as,
yes.
Yeah.
As much as it was crazy to see.
The one that really got me was Seth showing up in the Shield gear.
Yes.
And I think you had pointed this out, Josh. You were like, Seth literally told Cody he would be his Shield.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
And then he showed up with the Shield entrance in the Shield gear. But here's the thing I had noticed. Roman had the steel chair in his hand and could have swung it at Cody to win the match. But he hit Seth in the back with it.
Seth fell exactly how Roman did.
Yeah. We'll rewind to the
trade.
Dissolving of the Shield when Seth Rollins hit Roman in the back with a steel chair.
Poetic.
Roman cared more about the betrayal of his brother than he did winning the title, retaining the title in that moment.
Yeah.
Cannot wait for Roman to come back and face off with Seth.
Oh,
that's gonna be so good.
And
guys, you gotta level with me. When the Shield music hit, did you think that Jon Moxley / Dean Ambrose was coming out?
Absolutely.
Because I did, and I feel goofy as hell for thinking that in retrospect. Dude, but in the moment, I was like, is this
it
happening?
It seems like a lot of people thought it.
Okay.
The way, like, Triple H and wrestling have been right now, where he's like letting guys go to other companies and other companies come here. It felt like a thing Triple H could have pulled off.
Right. Like the fact that we had people from TNA in the Royal Rumble, and the fact that we saw WWE talent at Bloodsport, I was like, oh my God, like this could be happening right now. But then in retrospect, I don't think AEW and WWE are in any way like willing to be cooperative. Yeah.
Nope.
Neither one wants to help out the other, I feel. Like even thinking back to when we were talking about Sting's retirement match, I don't think they had any footage that WWE owns included in like kind of the promo like retrospective.
Apparently they didn't ask, but it's not, I don't know. I think WWE would have given, I'd like to think they would have given it up, but I don't know.
Yeah.
AEW gave WWE stuff for what? Who was it? Was it Jade?
Or Cody? Yes. Both.
I think Cody for sure. Jade probably too, because Jade didn't have anything other than like what she what she had.
So
what was the other thing I wanted to I saw a TikTok. Dustin Rhodes and Ricky Starks were in like a VIP box for the main event.
Nice. That's good.
Dustin, of course, being Cody's half brother, and then Ricky Starks was kind of like a big name that Cody had a hand in getting to AEW, and he was like kind of like Cody's protege of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing he was there, and then there was footage of him reacting to when Cody won, and it was like, oh shit, this is kind of going hard.
Yeah.
But
yeah, overall very I thought it was a good WrestleMania, like overall the whole thing. I thought the whole weekend was a total blast.
Yeah, I thought night two really helped this year's WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys had to give this WrestleMania overall a letter grade, what would you give it?
I'd give it an A-.
Okay, how about you, Josh?
I would give it a flat A.
Nice.
I didn't hear what you said, I'm sorry.
I would give it a flat A.
Okay, I'm gonna go B plus.
Right.
Nice, pretty pretty high overall from all of us.
And most of that B plus is coming from night two.
Yeah, I love how they've split it.
Yeah, because before this, WrestleMania was a slog to get through, dude.
Yeah, like imagine sitting through like 8 hours.
No, it was longer than that, because like the pre-show would start at like 4 o'clock. It'd be a 3-hour pre-show with like 3 matches, and then WrestleMania would kick off at 7 and go to like 2 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
It's
wild.
I'm a fan and I want to watch it, but like,
It's a lot.
No.
Yeah, weekend overall, had an absolute blast with you guys. I'm glad that we got to see such a big variety of wrestling, both like live in person, but also just watching together. Yeah, tons of fun.
I still do have to watch Stand and Deliver and the rest of Supercard of Honor, but I think once I finish those, I can put this weekend behind me. It was fun. It was great, but I am fucking dog tired, dude.
Yeah.
Feel oh my God.
It was good. I'm glad we did it.
Work Tuesday morning was like, oh my God.
Oh man.
I'm going to have two monsters on an empty stomach. Yum.
Gosh.
Yeah. And
I vibrated through a wall.
Any final thoughts before we wrap this episode up?
Yeah. Wrestling's gay.
That's right. And don't you forget it.
Wrestling is so gay.
Wrestling is gay.
I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
It's gay now.
It's gay now.
It's always been gay, but now it's really gay.
They made them gay.
They succeeded.
All I know is Dango kissed Effie at the end of the match, so.
Yeah.
That was pretty great. I can't wait to see what happens at next year's big gay brunch.
Number 10, baby.
Number 10, baby.
Gonna be busting out all the stops.
Double digits. Yeah, it's an anniversary show.
Yeah.
But
be fun to see.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for making the trip into Slamtown with us. Make sure to get your luggage out of the overhead rack and have your ticket checked at the door.
Mm-hmm. Items may have shifted.
We don't validate parking. I apologize. But, thanks for joining us, and keep on rocking in the free world.